Sharp and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my shirt. Good morning and welcome in to Captain Jay Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Captain Jay Hood with you until 10. We've got Jay, we got Randy, we got you. At this time every day, we give you Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the live same-game parlays, the lightning bets, and a whole lot of fun. I'll have one going for Monday Night Football tonight. Hope you do, too. And if you want to play the ponies, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. There's my buddy. Secretariat, how are you? And by the way, sign up at Club Hawthorne to win $12,000 on January 1st. They're going to give away cash, cold hard cash.
There's a reason why I didn't answer.
You asked him about his morning coffee.
Yeah, that's a reason he didn't answer. You asked him how he's doing, and he didn't answer. Because he's dead. How about that? By the way, sidebar.
Don't be so harsh.
What do you mean? He's just not around.
Look, you could say it that way. It's a little less harsh than he's dead.
He's not around.
He's not, but he's in my heart.
I understand. Dead. Now, let me ask you, sidebar may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law, 312-6 million for the great Howard Ankin. Sign my ball.
Sign my ball.
Randy, you know, that made it to TV.
Oh, I see it all the time. I'm an unfiltered fan. I watch every night at 6 o'clock, so I know where to find it.
Yep.
I don't know, Randy, if you know this or not, but Cap does magic tricks. He's very good at it. He does magic tricks. The man says in hour one, I don't have any money. Kid, I'm just telling you. He's got no money. But all of a sudden, last segment, finds a dollar. Now, I don't know what happened there. Now, I asked you to pay the kids, berniesbookbank.org. Got no money, but all of a sudden, a dollar pops
up. And I think it came from your wallet because somehow, underneath my newspaper, there was a single dollar bill. That was not there. Well, that was not mine.
The idea that you say you don't have any money, now you're being dishonest.
No, okay? You put a dollar there when I was not paying attention.
What do you mean? We're standing here side by side every morning. You see my every move.
No, you got up while I was reading a spot, and you went behind me, and you're very good. You slid a dollar under my
very
newspaper.
Good. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Randy? Very good. He says. You hear that, Randy?
Do you think Hoodie really has time to do that? Or I mean, he's a busy guy. He's not going to want to set you up with that.
It was either that, or you got Merkin when he brought the commercial read in here. Slide a dollar.
Hold on. Well, first of all,
what is this conspiracy?
It's unbelievable.
Well, it wasn't my dollar because I don't have any. Mindy took what I had left.
Well, first of all, Randy's got his communion money, so he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't have a dollar. He's got it. He's got the same money he's had from '89. So he's definitely not going to part with a dollar.
You tell the way he dresses.
But I just find it interesting. No money. Then all of a sudden, now of course I don't travel with such light change. As we turn now to Shay Norling here with Shot or No Shot, I don't have light change. Absolutely not.
All right, boys, let's get started
like
with the Shot or No Shot.
Cash. Go ahead.
Let's get started with the Shot or No Shot portion of the Shot or No Shot segment. The NFL is always evolving. This past decade plus has been defined by high-powered vertical passing attacks, but now the defenses have adjusted to take away explosive passing plays. Guess what? We are seeing the most rushing yards per game since 1988 and the fewest pass attempts per game since 2009 league-wide. Wow. Shot or No Shot, the NFL has evolved back into a running league, and that's good for these Bears.
That's a shot, because anyone that has been in the league for a long time will tell you, if you can't A, run the ball, and B, stop the run, you cannot win. It is not an all-out aerial assault league. You got to be able to throw, but it starts with the run, because it allows you to go play action.
I love the running game. I love the running game. I will never. I know it's a vertical league, and the reason why, Cap, is because you're looking for those flimsy pass interference calls. You got to throw it down the field to get those. It's almost automatic in every game in this league.
Agreed.
In this league, you could just barely touch a wide receiver if you are a guy in the secondary, and the wide receiver will get that call 100 times out of 100. So you got to have a vertical passing game in order to get that. However, I still believe in the grit and grind of being able to run the football between the tackles. And here's why that comes in handy. Look at the practice habits now in the NFL. Light walkthrough, have some meetings. Nobody hits anymore. the first time you really hit somebody is in game action, which is wrong to me. Because when you practice hitting someone, not the tackling dummy, I mean someone else, now you're ready for game action. That's how I was raised, but now we know the NFL is not like that. Everything's a light walkthrough. You're not hitting anybody, and that's a problem. And so now you get to the games, you see these bad tackles. So now the Red Sea's open for running backs to hit those lanes because no one's tackling like they used to. No one has the good tackling technique like they used to.
Correct. And if you remember, the Bears got penalized for teaching tackling. You're hitting too much in your mini camp. You're fined.
So I'm all for the run. So it, does that help the Bears, to answer your question? Absolutely.
100%.
Because that's the bread and butter of the Bears forever. Strong defense, run the football. Now, do I want them to get the ball in the air more often? Yes, because that's part of the league as well. Shay.
All right, the Bears have just 18 sacks on the season, 36 total quarterback hits. Hits principal maybe not doing its job on all parts of the defenses, but by far the fewest in the league in both categories. And over the last six games, talking about the T in the hits principal, they've created three turnovers. In six games, just three turnovers. Shot or no shot. Even with the rookie starters and the trades, we needed to see Eberflus' defense look better than this.
I would love to see that. That's a shot, but look at the talent that they have. Like, I mean, that turnover bucket is barren. It's much, like when Eddie Jackson was up and Brisker was up and Gordon, you felt, maybe you'd be able to get some takeaways, knock the ball out a little bit, but look what's back there now. You're just not going to get it.
So you're saying, let me just make sure I'm clear so I answer this correctly, at least my opinion of correctly might differ with everybody else. You're saying, shot or no shot, that despite what's been going on, they should have been better defensively with the talent they had opening day?
Or all season?
No, I'm just saying even now, despite the trades, getting rid of Roquan, getting rid of Robert Quinn, despite the rookie starters, we needed to see them look a little better than this. They've been a wet napkin.
Yeah, no shot. They have no talent.
You should get that tattooed.
It's just a fact. Brisker and Gordon haven't practiced in, what, 3 weeks? We haven't breathed on a quarterback. If this was flag football, we still wouldn't get a quarterback tackle. We don't touch these guys. Aaron Rodgers did not get touched one time. Not even hit after a throw. Yeah, no. No shot.
What do you think that tattoo would look like? Got just a big C? We've got no talent? What would that look like?
I could put it like a bear head with like a little balloon coming out of its mouth. We have no talent.
We got no talent.
Perfect.
That's what it would say, right?
Perfect.
Hopefully that will just be a one-off for this year and they'll actually have the talent that we're looking for.
I hope so. But again, when you get rid of Mac and stop tweeting at me, well, those guys haven't even been that good last year. You didn't replace them. Mac, Hicks, Quinn, Smith, Allen Robinson, and keep going. They gutted the roster and did nothing to replace them. They're trying to lose. Don't believe any of the pablum that you're getting from Hallis Hall, where it's not a rebuild. We're just trying to repaint a couple rooms.
That's not true.
Yeah. My ass. You need a new foundation.
Shout out to Roquan Smith with an interception on Mitch yesterday, the Steeler game.
He was.
Sack and a pick.
He was good yesterday.
Former Bear action right there. He was solid.
I got to tell you, and wasn't it a little bit of twisted irony that Roquan killed Kenny Pickett and then got to pick off Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah.
Who killed Kenny?
Roquan.
By the way, pablum cap, word of the day.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I will reveal where that word came from. So Cap got that word, and we've all got that word from listening to Mort Downey. Because Mort Downey, the talk show host, would say pablum puking blank, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You're a pablum puker is what he would say. Mm-hmm. It's one of his catchphrases. So that's the first time I heard it. It was in the 80s.
Yep.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. He had a radio show and a television show. Randy, you remember the Mort Downey Jr. show?
That Zip
show
it, lady.
Zip it. And by the way, out there with a cigarette, too, Cap. He was out there smoking while he was doing the show.
Right, and then died of lung cancer.
Surprise.
And, I mean, he was a chain smoker.
Yes.
What a shock.
Pablum puking.
Yes.
All right, buddy.
All right, boys, I want to expand to the NFC North. We saw the Lions and Vikings in action yesterday while the Bears and Packers were on the bye. The Lions more than doubled their playoff odds with a statement win over the Vikings. They got a little bit of help in the standings with the Giants and Seahawks, both of whom look out of gas, lost to the Eagles and Panthers, respectively. Detroit's schedule the rest of the way, kind of soft. You get the Jets, Panthers, Bears, and Packers. Shot or no shot, the Lions will win out and steal the Giants' playoff spot.
Half of that might be true. Winning out, that's a no shot in this league. I will tell you that I'm impressed, Cap, from Detroit's, from their standpoint, the way they started off to win five of their last six, defeating the Packers, the Bears, the Vikings. So you swept the division once. Then from there, Giants, you had 3-point loss to Buffalo and then a blowout against the Jaguars. They won 40-14. I will give them full credit. I think they did a nice, they've done a nice job so far, and they stopped the run on the Vikings yesterday. Vikings could not run the football yesterday. So I will say that the Lions will have a little bit of a trouble, but run the table, no. Will they steal the Giants spot? The Giants will do themselves in based on how they play. So I think half of that is a shot for me.
They can absolutely win out. Absolutely. And if they do and steal the Lions playoff or the Giants playoff spot, that would be absolutely hilarious to watch because there were so many people that said, the Lions, they're the worst team in the division. Not even close. They probably have the best roster in the division, and they've got two more number one picks.
Well, you know, can I just say
that's a shot.
Let me just say this. That the reason why that the Lions have turned things around for me is that their defense has gotten better. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. Like, the scoring was not a problem for the Lions. Did they get shut out against the Patriots? Yes. Did they not score well and play well against the Dallas Cowboys? Yes. It wasn't the scoring that was the issue. They lose games late because they weren't very good defensively. Mm-hmm. Now, that's been shored up some here in this winning streak.
Correct. The one thing I would tell you is Jared Goff's playing at an entirely different level.
Man.
He's been incredible.
I'll take 8 touchdowns and no interceptions in the last 5 games. I'll take that.
Listen to his passing yards. 330 this week. 340, 240, 165, 236. He has a 321, a 378. I mean, he put up some damn good numbers.
No question.
He's having the best season of his career by far. And by the way,
far.
Detroit is as an environment, and this is not just this year, this is going forward, has an elite offensive line. They have highly talented pass catchers. It's an environment we've seen Goff literally go to a Super Bowl in before.
Now, will they be able to knock it down? That's the question.
That is the question. So. But they can absolutely get in the playoffs, and you wouldn't want to play that team in the playoffs.
I was just saying, I've heard from people who have talked to players in this league, the Lions are among the very least favorite teams to play because they are so physical. If you remember when they played the Giants, the game they turned their season around, they injured 8 players in that game.
That team hits.
Yeah,
and
I like
now
that.
Jameson Williams is back.
Mm-hmm.
High draft pick. Was out with an ACL. Amon-Ra St. Brown. They've got a ton of draft capital coming because they traded T.J. Hockenson to the Vikings.
The good St. Brown.
The good St. Brown, mm-hmm. Correct. And they've got the running backs, Swift and Williams. They've got talent, man, and that O-line is really good.
All right, coming up, we'll go around the NFL. We'll dive further into this NFC North with the Lions and the Vikings. What does yesterday's game say about the Minnesota Vikings? And also other news and notes around the NFL. We'll get to that coming up next. Courtney Cronin at 8:35 on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
The best reality show on television, folks, is the National Football League. You can have your Love Island. You can have your Bachelor. You can have your Joe Millionaire. There's nothing like the National Football League because you never know what's going to happen. So we'll take a look at the National Football League. Let's go around the NFL with Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, Hoodie, let's start where we left off. Lions-Vikings yesterday, a very interesting game. We talked about the Lions a little bit. They're the national media darling today. If you go around really anywhere, everybody's talking about could this team win out, make the playoffs, what it meant for Dan Campbell. I'm going to ask what it meant for the Vikings. What do we now think about this team that came into that game 10-2, was a 2.5-point dog, and really got dominated by the Lions?
Well, let's go back to what you asked us last week. I believe there was a shot or no shot about the Vikings that you asked, correct?
Yeah, I asked you point blank if they're complete frauds.
Well, I mean, and my answer to you at that time was that this season will tell a great story about the future of the Vikings. What have we said the last 4 or 5 years, Cap? Good offensive line, good, great weapons, strong enough defense to be able to be one of the top teams in the NFC. And we said the thing that held them back is Kirk Cousins. Okay, the Vikings could not run the football at all. And if you put everything on the shoulders of Kirk Cousins, good to the tune of over 400 yards passing, this is the end result. So, to me, that's a paper champion at this point in time. You can say it's a one-off, but show me that you could be a complete team with Kirk Cousins at the helm, and I can tell you whether or not the Vikings are real or not.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that they're for real. They have a good team. They certainly do. Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, K.J. Osborne, Adam Thielen. Like, there's a lot of talent there. There's just something always missing.
And which is?
I don't know. They change coaches.
The quarterback.
I just honestly, changing coaches might be their biggest boon. I think Hoodie's right. The quarterback is the weakness.
Yeah.
Because there's a ceiling there, Cap.
There is. He puts up. You look at the numbers, you're like, wow, those numbers are just amazing. And then, for whatever reason, they just can't get it done. I look at that Detroit team. Snorling just told me they have 9 of their own first-round picks on the roster. They're going to add 2 more first-round picks this year through trades and their own pick. That roster is just getting better. And going into yesterday's game, and the numbers only get better. Red zone percentage, number 1 in the NFL. Sacks allowed, 3rd best. Rushing TDs, 3rd best. Offensive TDs, 3rd best. They're top 7 in every category and getting better.
I heard Tommy Waddle talk about how he's a fan of Kirk Cousins, understands the numbers he's put up. And Tommy's right. He's a solid quarterback. But again, there's a ceiling there. What's the next step for Kirk Cousins as quarterback? Again, the weapons are there. See the game yesterday when you see Justin Jefferson, 223 yards. Again, no touchdowns, but 223 yards. 425 for Kirk Cousins on 31 for 41 passing. But again, you have to be able to play better offensively. Play like you're 10-3 and not just one round and out. We'll see what happens. It just didn't seem likely that they're going to have a long shelf like in the playoffs. And if they do, that means that Kirk Cousins has turned the corner.
That Lions schedule, though, I think it's of the remaining, 4 games that they have? They have 4 games left? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're 6-7. I think 3 of the 4 are on the road.
Yeah, at Jets, at Carolina, versus the Packers or the Bears in Detroit, and then at Green Bay.
All right, Shay?
I just, Twitch chat would also like me to mention that Cousins was good yesterday. He was. Lions defense has been rough against the pass all year. Really, the Vikings defense is terrible, and that's been something that's held them back this year as well. I just think when I look at Kirk Cousins, he's almost never a guy who's going to win you games. Like, there's very few times where you'll look at the Vikings wins and go, Cousins is the reason they won that.
Well, again, you say what you want. The bottom line is that 23 wasn't enough against a Lions team that's improved offensively. You can look at those numbers and say you'll take 425, but did you win or did you lose? And you got to be able to outscore the Lions as of late. So say what you want. It just, when it comes to the end, when you're trying to win multiple playoff games, can Kirk Cousins, the offense, get it done? The answer lately is no. Maybe they'll turn the corner this year. We will see. Shay?
Saw something interesting yesterday in San Francisco. The 49ers were a 3.5-point favorite with Brock Purdy starting against the GOAT, and the 49ers boat raced them. Tom Brady was non-competitive in this game. The Bucs were non-competitive in this game. And Brock Purdy looked good.
Brock Purdy's 28-point win
was the second largest out of 134 quarterbacks who made their first career start against an MVP-winning quarterback, trailing only Brady himself. Think about that. He beat Manning by 31 in his first start in 2001. Purdy made history yesterday. I saw his dad crying in the stands in the first half because he was so overjoyed by his son and his performance against Tampa.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch Tom Brady 7-0 against guys making their first career start until yesterday. And, I mean, Purdy threw some beautiful balls. Beautiful. Now, Deebo Samuel went down, had to be carted off. It looks like they escaped a super serious injury. But he's got at least a high ankle sprain, it sounds like. So he's going to be out. They just keep losing guys, and they keep finding ways to win.
Just so if I remember this correctly, was that a handoff up the middle where the injury
Correct.
Took place?
And then did you see the Jerry Rice Instagram post?
That's what I want to ask you about. What'd you think? So what did Jerry Rice say? I sent that to you, I think, Shay.
Yeah, I sent it to you guys.
He was not happy with that. He doesn't think that wide receivers should be in plays like that.
Yeah, Jerry Rice sent out something to the effect of,
he said,
can
stop
we stop running,
our
skill position players up the middle?
Does he have a point?
I mean, Garoppolo got hurt going up the middle. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel got hurt going up the middle. Now, I don't know what he wants to do with Elijah Mitchell. He's a running back. That's what they do.
Yes.
He's yes. out again. He got hurt against the Bears, finally came back, got hurt again.
It made me think, though, when he said that, when I saw that Instagram post, I'm saying, wait a second now. I mean, this is kind of where the league is going right now. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, that's kind of like his play. That's kind of what he does on his schemes with the Bears and with Atlanta. It's kind of what he does. I mean, it's kind of where the league is. I mean, you know that Deebo Samuel could have got hurt in any place and on the field, any play on the field.
That's what I didn't get. Like, why? What's the problem running him up the middle? If that's a successful play for the offense, that's why you do it. Like, you're a football player. You have to play. Is that any different functionally than going over the middle to catch a pass? It's just as dangerous. It's just what you do.
Yeah, he wants to not run Deebo Samuel. He wants to use him as a wide receiver.
Well, he also, in the same post, he hashtagged Trey Lance hurt, Jimmy G hurt. So his problem is with more than just Deebo. I just don't think running up the middle is, who cares?
Well, 49ers fans care this morning.
Deebo also cares. But
and
I
Deebo
mean,
cares.
It's what you do. It's what you're asked to do to win football games. It's like, are you going to get mad if Christian McCaffrey runs up the middle and gets hurt? No. So what's the difference?
Yeah, you know what I was thinking reading that yesterday, Cap? I'm thinking Jerry Rice probably is watching this and like, I would never be utilized that way.
Correct.
2022 he would, maybe, depending on the scheme.
End around or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a lineup quarterback. Like, yeah, I'm a guy here that's going to go up and get him. I'm not going to be in between the tackles
yeah,
getting all
he
that.
He does not want Deebo Samuel running between the tackles.
Interesting thought by Jerry Rice.
Correct.
All right. What else do we have?
Justin Herbert set the record for passing yards through the first three seasons of a quarterback last night. He surpassed Andrew Luck with a deep ball to Mike Williams. Mm-hmm. But he also sparked debate because late in the game there was a play where he was sacked, kind of just a simple sack, and the body weight rule came into play. Roughing the passer was called. Now, there was debate in the broadcast. Should this be a reviewable penalty?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And it would have been overturned. How about that? So I'm so tired of this league. I'm not, again, my eyes are college football eyes. And I watch the NFL and I just watch these guys, Cap. I mean, there's two instances I know of yesterday in which it was not roughing the passer. And they get called anyway.
Yeah, I took the opportunity. My grandson, he's going to be 2 in February, loves football. Like, he'll sit there and watch it. And my daughter-in-law and my son are like, we don't give him screen time. You do when he's with me. And I turned on the 85 Bears highlight video. He was locked in with me. Uh-huh. Richard Dent took the quarterback of the Falcons and literally pile-drived and landed full body weight. I'm like, oh, my God, today?
Dave Archer?
Suspended. David Archer.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
David Archer, number 16. I mean, just drove him into the turf. I'm like, today? That'd be a $50,000 fine and a one-game suspension because it was so egregious. Wilbur Marshall laid out Joe Ferguson cold. Done. In Detroit. The game today does not look anything like the sport that we watched yesterday.
All right, that's our look around the National Football League. I was going to ask you, by the way, because I saw that beautiful picture with you and Ben watching sports. I mean, clearly he's going to be a sports fan because he's around granddad here. Didn't you want him to be a little bit more of a baseball guy? I mean, he's watching football, but, you know, is he going to be a baseball guy?
Oh, I'll expose him to baseball. Absolutely. I've already taken him to his first. He was not even 6 months old. He was born in February, and that summer he went to his first Cubs game. Yes.
I was just wondering. I was thinking about it. He's watching a lot of football, but I know Cap's heart's like, don't you want to watch a little baseball with granddad here? Two balls, two strikes.
Oh, we will. But he's not a basketball guy because I put on the Bulls game. He's like, he wants to go read with Mimi, my wife. And football back on, he's done with the book. Let's go. Second. Like, it's really cool to watch.
It's interesting.
It's fun.
All right, coming up, we will talk to our friend Courtney Cronin from ESPN Chicago. We'll get our thoughts about the NFC North and the Bears, brought to you by Wintrust. Still to come on Cap and Jay Hood. Ah, the most wonderful time continues to roll on college football season. Dr. Pepper and the residents of Fansville invite you to revel in another one-of-a-kind year of flexing your foam finger, humming your school's fight song in your sleep, and thriving on a steady diet of buffalo chicken dip and post-game day commentary, all washed down with a delicious, rich, cold Dr. Pepper, of course. Another Saturday is always just right around the corner, so make sure that your tailgate doesn't turn to a failgate and pick up a case of ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Shay.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app. Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears insider and Irish dancer.
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap and Jay Hood.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Hope that you're going to have a great week and a great Monday. It is a Bears NFL Monday here on ESPN 1000 as we turn to Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust. She covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning.
Let me punch her up here.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Double C.
We're doing fine, thank you. We were just talking about the Vikings and Lions. Interesting. We're keeping our eyes on that. From Minnesota's standpoint, with them losing, and we talked about how Minnesota had a hard time running the football, losing that ball game. What's the shelf life for the Vikings as is for them to finally get to the Super Bowl under Kirk Cousins?
You know, I mean, I think their chance is as good as it's ever been right now, even though it is easy at times to poke holes in their record. And, you know, Vegas is undefeated. They really are. Like, they don't get these things wrong, which is why they spotted the Vikings 2 points in this game, and they still lost. Like, they did exactly what we thought they were going to do, and the Lions are playing really well. You got to give credit where credit's due. They're scoring a lot of points at home, and defensively, I felt like they had a good plan to shut down any semblance of a running game that the Vikings tried to start yesterday. But, you know, they built a comfortable lead in the division. That's important. So for them and their playoff chances and kind of where things stand right now, I know they're the 2 seed and they've got a 10-3 record. Like, they'll be okay. But to me, if they play the way that they've did, especially on the defensive side of the ball, it's like 5 straight weeks where they've given up 400 yards. That's a wild card exit. That's not something that you can do in the playoffs and expect to survive. So, you know, they're definitely a playoff team, and they should be a good one if they can figure out some of their mistakes they're making in their pass defense. And obviously, they were hurt yesterday. Christian Darrisaw didn't play. Harrison Smith didn't play. They've been injured in their secondary all season long. We've seen the adjustments from Ed Donatell that you would expect to kind of mitigate some of the big gains that they've been allowing this year.
Okay, so let's talk about this Lions team. They got 2 first-round picks. One's going to be, I don't know, top seven. And then they've got their own. They're going to have a little bit of cap space still. They've got 9 first-round picks of their own on the roster. Jared Goff's playing at a super high level, the best we've seen him play. Right. So how good is this team going forward? Because I picked them to finish second in the division, but I think this them and the Eagles could be the two best teams in the NFC, along with the Niners, probably, if they're healthy, going forward after this year. Where are you on the Lions?
They're on the up and up. There's no denying that. It's crazy, though, when you think about, let's go back to like week 7, week 8, when people are thinking, man, this sucks for Lions fans. They're going to be in a perennial state of rebuild, because at that point they were in the midst of a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and it felt like Dan Campbell couldn't right the ship. After all of the empty promises, it just never came through outside of a couple wins early in the season, the one they had over the Commanders. Then something clicked, and I think getting Jamison Williams back has certainly helped. He's there a hard receiving core to stop. And when you look at Jared Goff's last 2 games, this is still Jared Goff we're talking about, and there's still a team that's going to need to draft a quarterback because they're going to be in position to do so. But the last 2 games for him, he has a 5-0 touchdown-interception ratio. He's averaging over 10 yards per pass attempt, completing 80% of his passes. It shows if you surround a quarterback with weapons, you give him good pass protection, which we know the Lions have been building towards that since 2017. Really, even before that, when they started drafting offensive linemen pretty heavily about 6 years ago in 2016. And that's really helped, I think, build something that's sustainable. So they're dangerous. And I think if we're projecting this thing out beyond the season, you know, the Bears are still going to be a work in progress. I've been pretty clear that I don't think this is going to be a Bengals-esque turnaround. That's an anomaly. That's not the norm. But they're going to be a lot better next year. And the Lions are probably going to be one of those teams where they feel they can kind of, it can kind of be like the measuring stick for how successful they can be, which is a crazy thing to talk about. I realize coming out of my mouth, that sounds a little weird because the Lions have not been very good my entire lifetime. But, you know, they've done the right things. And I think that they've been really slow and intentional in terms of what they're building. And if you get the right quarterback in there, and again, not saying anything about Jared Goff, I think he's been really good operating within the confines of this offense. But if you get your franchise guy in there with the amount of pieces they have, that's a recipe for success for any team. And they'll be contending with the Vikings probably neck and neck for that spot next year at the top of the division.
Cap, let's ask Courtney the question we started our show off with this morning regarding quarterbacks.
Okay, Courtney, you have a draft pick. You have to keep this guy as your starting quarterback for the next 7 to 10 years, minimum 7 years, end of the decade. So that would, I think, knock out Brady and Rodgers and some of the old dudes. Where are you drafting Justin? Who is he, top 5 on that with those characteristics? So you got Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Hurts and Herbert and Lawrence. There's some good players. Where's Justin?
If you're asking me my 5, can I take 5?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Dave Brubeck.
Fields is absolutely in my 5, 100%. He's probably 3rd. I would probably go Mahomes, Allen, Fields, Tua, Hurts. Is that okay?
Where's Burrow?
I think that that's we've seen the changing of the guard in real time at the quarterback position, mostly in the AFC the last couple years, and obviously with Brady and Rodgers on the decline and on the way out, and then pretty soon you're going to be seeing Derek Carr probably switching teams. Mm-hmm. That kind of is what he is. I'm going with the future. I'm skewing younger on that, and I know that I left Lamar Jackson off that list. Justin Fields would fulfill everything that, if I want a dual threat quarterback with an arm, like Justin Fields fulfills everything I need from that and more.
Say your 5 again, because I think you missed one.
I put it was Mahomes, Allen, Fields,
yep.
Tua, and Hurts.
Where's Joe Burrow?
I know. You guys only gave me 5. Like, you want to give me 6?
Justin Herbert?
She just told you about Burrow, that changing of a guard in the AFC. Weren't you listening?
Yeah, I was. And I'm like, no, wait. Tua. No shot.
Trust me. And I'm not going prisoner of the moment on that. I know he did not look good last night. But I think that, again, it shows you it's not just all on the quarterback. You have to surround those players with weapons. Look at what's happened with him this year with Jalen Waddle being there, and obviously the acquisition of Tyreek Hill. That stuff helps. You put him in the right offense. No, there's so few scheme-transcendent quarterbacks in the NFL. It's all dependent on scheme. So you put him in the right space with the right coach, right players around him, you get a team that is going to be in the postseason. So, yeah, I'm comfortable with that list. I mean, yeah, would I like to have more? Of course. But I think that, you know, having the list that I have and having Justin Fields where he's still an unfinished product, drafting him third is probably higher than most would go on that list, but we see him up close every day. So maybe I'm a little skewing towards probably what I expect that to look like, but I'm comfortable with that.
Well, Tom in Oaklawn doesn't like the Lions talk, and he joins us on Cap and Jay Hood with Courtney Cronin. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, so I know Cap keeps saying, well, they have all of these first-round picks. Well, I've seen in years before where they've had all these first-round picks and more picks going, and they hadn't really done anything before in previous years. And we've seen it before, too, where first-round picks have a good year this year, and then, you know, they fall off the next. And then, like Courtney said with Jared Goff, I mean, we've seen this before where Jared Goff has a really good year, and then he falls off and he becomes Jared Goff.
Tom, they're loaded.
Kirk Cousins,
they're loaded,
like
Tom.
No, well, the thing is, that team that has so loaded and has so much talent still almost lost to the Bears, who, as you said, have no talent whatsoever.
Yeah, and so did the Dolphins almost lose to the Bears.
How the Lions are going to be the class of the NFC, they've been doing this for years, and guess what? I still have not seen it.
You will.
I will believe it when I see it. So.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling us here on The Ticket. All right, so Courtney, any news going into this week for the Bears that you should tell us?
Yeah, they're going to be back today. So they had their week off. Hopefully it was a good mental reset for a lot of players and coaches. I know they did a self-scout, so I'm not sure how it – we'll find out, like, the extent of that and how much time the coaches actually got away. But it should be good on the injury front because Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, last we were seeing them, they were still in the concussion protocol. So that would be good to get them back, certainly to bolster your secondary. They're going to need it against the Eagles. And I'm also curious to see what the injury for Chase Claypool was, because we never got an injury report last week. We did know that he had the brace on, I believe it was his right knee, coming out of that game against the Packers. So hopefully this was a week of getting healthy and a week of just trying to strap in and get ready for these final four games, because, you know, their opponents back-to-back with the Eagles and the Bills, and then obviously when they have Minnesota and Detroit, flip that order, like that's not an easy way to end the season. Like, these are four really tough games, but four games that you can learn something from.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Sorry you don't like my list, Cap. It's okay.
We'll debate. Joe Burrow's got to be on there.
Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust, with us every Monday on Cap and Jay Hood. Alex Brown will join us at 9 o'clock, but coming up next, a disaster in A-Town. We'll talk about the Bulls coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Still mad.
Small business owners want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments you made during the pandemic. To take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit, or if you have any specific ERC questions, call 800-704-2000, 800-704-2000, or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out. Shane.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We'll hear from the great Alex Brown coming up at 9 o'clock and get back to our Bears NFL Monday here on Chicago's home for sports, Cap and Jay Hood. But last night, Cap, while I'm watching the Sunday night football game on Monitor 2, Monitor 1 had the Bulls and Atlanta Hawks. So after coming off a tremendous victory on Saturday against Dallas, here are the Bulls against Atlanta. And there was like four or five things, Cap, in that game that really was amazing, especially in the overtime period. But the Bulls ended up losing that ball game 123-122. But it didn't have to happen that way, correct?
So I'm watching that game, and every time I get mad at a TV screen, I let my emotions get the best of me at times in the house. My wife will say, excuse me?
I didn't notice that, but please go ahead.
My wife will say, why do you get so beat red and get so upset? It's not like you're the coach.
She doesn't get it.
No, she doesn't. So I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing Zach LaVine take some of the dumbest shots. That guy's basketball IQ is embarrassingly bad at times. Terrible. I'm watching them battle and grind, and Derek Jones Jr. gets fouled right at the end of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Make both free throws, go home, get on the plane, be happy, and have back-to-back wins on two straight days. He makes the front end. We're tied. He misses the second one. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
To what? Free throw.
Yep, 1 for 2.
All right, we go to overtime. Trae Young, he's a beast. Not my style player because I think his shot selection at time leaves something to be desired, but he's wildly talented.
Mm-hmm.
He knocks down a shot. The Bulls are 2 down with 1 second left. DeMar DeRozan gets fouled by Bogdanovich. Just a dumb defensive play.
What? On the three-point line. With time running down, yep.
A guy who's not a good three-point shooter, he's well beyond the line. He's got a second to get it off. All you do is get your hands off. If he makes the shot, God bless him. He fouls him. Awesome. Here we go. DeMar goes to the line. Bang, bang, bang. Hits all three.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to hear Stacy go, drive home safely, Chicago PP. Half a second. The Bulls do a really nice job setting up their defensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
They cover the back pick. And they've got Vooch on Trae Young on the inbound pass. Good decision by Billy. Timeout, Trae Young. Give me a timeout.
Sure.
Okay, now they're going to put a different guy who's taller inbounding the ball. Good decision, Nate McMillan. We don't double the guy inside. We have one guy in there, and he's our skinniest player.
Derrick Jones.
Derrick Jones Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great leaper. He's a very athletic kid. After the game, he says, I took my eye off the ball. You what?
No, that's not on you, but that's fine.
He was showing leadership. I took my eye off the ball for a second, and the guy caught it, flipped it up, and went in. That loss, and I like him as our coach, that loss falls right at the feet, first and foremost, of Billy Donovan and his coaches. Whether that was Billy who diagrammed that defense or one of his assistants, it falls at the feet of the head basketball coach. You just got paid again, a long extension. Good for you. I'm a fan of yours. That was awful. And I'm standing in my family room, hands on hips. I see them come out of this second timeout. And I turn to my wife. I'm like, he's got one guy inside. If they throw this at the rim and this kid catches it, I am going to break the TV. Don't you dare.
Mm-hmm.
And sure as effing.
Yep.
Lobs it up. Derrick Jones Jr. isn't there in time. Kid catches it, flips it up, and it goes in. And it went off before the red light. It was clear as day. It was good. That loss is on Billy Donovan. You cannot guard that the way you did. Where was Andre Drummond? Why was Andre Drummond, who had a great run in 16 minutes, I think he scored 14 points and 8 rebounds, why was he not in there? So I have him and Derrick Jones Jr. So I got backside support. You got a half a second. Because Trae Young's standing in the corner and you're afraid he's going to beat you. If he can catch it, set, shoot in half a second and beat me, I'll tip my cap. You're not getting a freaking lob pass. That one falls at the feet of the coaches and they got no one to blame but themselves. Yeah, I was pissed.
That last second lay-in was from Hawks' son. It's Adrian Griffin's son, A.J. Griffin, with that lay-in yesterday.
Former Bull.
So, I mean, Bogdanovich fouling DeRozan and then DeRozan getting three free throws. I like the 34 points and 13 rebounds and 8 assists. He played very well, did DeRozan. There's no question about that. That Trae Young shot that he hit was part of that fourth quarter in the overtime as well. Kobe White had good look defensively, had the hand up in his face, but Trae Young just hit the shot. Kobe with a knockdown three in the corner, which was really needed to tie the game, which is very key also down the stretch. My question for Zach LaVine is this, and he finished with 21 points. My question is, what is best for you, to drive to the basket or to just pull up for long twos or long threes? I mean, as Stacey King documented in the broadcast, if you want to go to the basket time and time again, that would have been great. Here's why, Cap. The reason why it would have been great for him to go to the basket is because he only had 3 free throws yesterday. 3 free throws. For someone who has the ball in his hands, the lion's share at the time, that's got to be 10 or more every game. Sorry.
Completely agree.
I mean, you just can't be just a jump shooter. I know he can do that, but at the same time, though, you've got to be able to drive to the basket, especially when it's nut-cutting time in the fourth quarter and in overtime. You got to be a catalyst. And so it just – but the defensive woes is an embodiment of an 11-15 ball club. Not surprised. The lack of defense awareness and the scheme – came to the forefront yesterday.
Yeah.
Horrible job.
That loss falls at the feet of the coaches. And again, Zach LaVine took three perimeter shots, two from three and one on the line. I think it would have been a long two, as you said.
Yeah.
They embarrassed themselves yesterday. That's an awful loss.
Back to the Bears and the NFL with Alex Brown. He'll join us in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.